Internet. Jean-Jacques Cornish est ici. Bonjour, chers collègues. Ça va?
Ça va très, très bien. Merci.
I'm very excited for today's Africa Report. There's a bit of spice already in Rwanda. Secretary of State from the United States, Antony Blinken, was visiting Rwanda as part of his trip. And what was he basically saying?
Well, you know, it was very interesting safari, South Africa, DRC, Rwanda, and butter wouldn't have melted in his mouth in South Africa and DRC. He really spoke at Tuck's just up the road from me, and he and the foreign minister or Durko minister got on very, very well. He was saying, we don't want to try and tell you, South Africa, who your friends should be. This was dealing with, of course, Russia. But very interesting exchanges there. But once he got to the Rwanda, and we knew he was going to do it, he got down to cases with Paul Kagame and said there were credible reports and solid evidence from the United Nations experts that Rwanda was interfering in the Eastern DRC, providing weapons and support for that Tutsi rebel group, the M23. Now, he also called for the freeing of Paul Rusesabagina, you remember him as the Hotel Rwanda man,
yes,
who was tricked into going into Rwanda and then got 25 years in jail.
Correct.
The foreign minister, Vincent Biruta, said we're not going to veer from what we believe that judicial authorities have done. But the tone changed immediately he got there. And
yes,
as I say, we knew he was going to, it was going to happen. Now, he did effectively get Kagame and Felix Tshisekedi, the DRC leader, to agree to talk directly about fighting in the east of the country. So that might produce something. But
that's,
I think,
excellent.
Kagame knows, you know, I mean, he has ideas about what Rwanda should be. But what Rwanda actually is a country reliant completely on its, or virtually completely on its agricultural sales. And very reliant on aid, and the military aid has been from United States has been frozen because of the interference in the DRC, and also because of human rights violations. Another point that Blinken raised: human rights violations in Rwanda, and of course the propensity that Paul Kagame has to set his dog, so to speak, on his opponents abroad. And then we had that situation right here in South Africa. An opponent of his was killed, and an attempt was made on another's life. So, it was a very tense time, but we knew it was going to happen.
Necessary, and good to see this side of Blinken, right? So, he gave us the sweet, all right. But good to see the side of him, and also just, I think, a bit of an awareness that needs to be brought about in terms of global diplomacy around Paul Kagame. Yes, we get it. You know, you've done good work, but, you know, repression, kind of authoritarianism, and of course what's been going on in the Congo and how he influences his neighbors like Museveni in that
I didn't
regard.
Realize how francophone he was. I saw an interview with him, or his chats with Tshisekedi, and with someone in DRC, and he speaks absolutely perfect French.
Yeah. All right, and then elections in Senegal. What's on the go there?
Well, there the elections have reduced the majority, destroyed the absolute majority of the ruling coalition for the first time since 1960. Now, Macky Sall's Alliance for the Republic and others in that alliance won 82 of 165 seats. And so they're going to need other forces to pass legislation. They're wondering whether he's going to stand again. Politics is becoming very interesting in that country. And very interesting because, you know, as you know, Senegal doesn't have a lot to offer financially and economically, but it does have a lot of moral weight in the continent. And so we'll
and
see the new sort of pragmatic approach that Macky Sall is going to have to take, what that's going to do to politics in Senegal. I think it'll be something very interesting to watch.
Want to get to your final story, but very quickly, any update on the Kenyan race?
Well, yes, I have a result for you. Rylo Odinga lost to William Ruto. Ruto's got 51.6%. Rylo Odinga 47.8%. I think a bit of a turnaround that one. Let's hope that we don't get a return of the violence from 2007, you know, where 1,200 people died and 600,000 people had to flee their homes. Let's hope that Odinga accepts that outcome. And again, we'll be watching politics. They're very, very interesting.
On a positive note, life expectancy in Africa has improved by 10 years in the last two decades.
Yes, indeed, to 2000 and 2019. So that doesn't really take in the COVID problems. And I mean, the disruptive impact of COVID could threaten some of these gains. This is the largest gain of any region in the world. So life expectancy is 56 years old, but that's still lower than the global life expectancy, which is 64. But it's maternal health care, reproductive medical gains, and childcare, better health for children, has had a lot to do with this, including the fight against infectious diseases like TB, HIV, malaria, all of those. But they could, you know, the modern vicious things like hypertension and diabetes could hurt it. But what they're saying, the World Health Organization, is there has to be publicly financed healthcare, because a lack of sustainable finance for healthcare will threaten the gains that have been made. So this is a big plus for us.
All right.
And we've just got to build on it, all of us.
We do. 10 more years to pay 25 rand a litre for petrol. Thank you so much. I'm just teasing. You know, I'm always cynical. À la prochaine. Merci.